Hey everyone, I'm Ari here with Rachel, and we're your hosts for the Merry Writer podcast. This week we're on episode 209 and we're asking, how do you deal with the problem of perfectionism? Before we dive into the topic, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening if you haven't already, and if you're enjoying the show, please share it with friends and feel free to write a review. Okay, so perfectionism is actually kind of a form of procrastination. I'm sure you're all aware of procrastination, and if we're being honest, most procrastination seems to come from fear and overwhelm. I think if you're ever having to deal with like a big issue in a book or a plot hole, you'll find that you really want to do your laundry or fill the dishwasher instead of dealing with it. So yeah, and to be honest, we're actually designed to shy away from things that overwhelm us. It's why we do procrastinate. It's why we do go, I'll just watch the next episode of Netflix rather than, you know, actually tackle something that's been stressful. And kind of being obsessed with writing the perfect story, making it perfect before we share it with anyone is really disruptive. And we know it's disruptive, so we avoid it and we procrastinate. But let's be honest, we all know the saying, you can't edit a blank page, and that the first draft is meant to be terrible. But just because we know that doesn't make it easy to push through. Believe me, I know. You know, you can say all this stuff till the cows come home, but knowing it and pushing through it to separate things completely. And to be honest, there is no way to make the story perfect, because there is no perfect stories, is there? It's like, there'll always be errors and issues, and you'll always look back years later and go, oh God, I wish I'd have done that differently. I mean, we've heard of authors 20 years later going back and amending their original books. I'm not sure I believe in that. I don't think that's the greatest thing. And also, the whole point is they're meant to get edited and chopped and changed and dealt with. And what actually helped me get over some of my perfectionism, it's not all gone, believe me, was actually seeing a published author, and she shared one of her latest manuscripts, the hard copy, on a video, and it was so covered in red pen, like unbelievable amounts, where you honestly don't believe that anyone would, you know, it's like, how could it be that, not bad, but that in need of editing? And this is a writer who was very, very successful and had written like several books and was still receiving a lot of editing and feedback. And it could have been like everything from questions to issues to, you know, little mentions. But honestly, seeing that intensity in red ink, it made me go like, oh, so there's meant to be a lot of chopping and changing. And I've seen it in other ones, other videos of authors where they've shown what their, you know, even like traditional publishers, what their editor's marks look like. And you're like, oh, okay. And these are professionals. These are people who've been doing it for years and making money. So yeah.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because it is true. It's like these books, they're supposed to be marked up and edited like hard, but I'm going to sound like a jerk right now, but I find it funny how perfectionism stems from overwhelm and fear. And you mentioned how you can't edit a blank page and stuff. Well, editing is more overwhelming to me than writing. So it's kind of funny how you're like, it helps you, like, seeing all of that from a professional author who's been doing it for years and has published several books. And it's like, ah, nothing gets better. That's my contribution.
I understand that. I think what I found it actually did, it did give me a bit of ease for it. And one of the reasons I think if you're editing your own manuscript, the overwhelm can be massive. We've talked about it in another episode where it feels like you're never ending. You're stuck with it and you're like, you know, how many passes do you need to do? I think seeing it with an editor and their writing on it, that's actually better, because you're following their notes then. Because when you're editing, you're following your own notes. And if you're like, you know, if you're anything like me, your notes could be everywhere. You could have checklists and colours, and you're thinking about characters and pacing and structure and little bits. And even when you're trying to just deal with structure, you're finding spelling errors and you're kind of all over the place. But if you've got a professional editor's notes, all you have to do is literally go line by line and follow what they've talked about and make decisions, which again, appreciate that is still an overwhelm. But I think having someone's notes guiding you can probably not be as bad. So maybe it's not as overwhelming. Or I don't know, maybe you look at it and just cry at how much red there is.
No, that's true, actually. That's a good way of thinking about it, because the editor's notes is pretty much a guideline for you. So that is a good way of thinking of it. And also the other thing is, I think part of the overwhelm comes from if you don't necessarily know what you're doing. Like when I first started editing my manuscripts, I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know what I was looking for. I didn't know when I should be looking for certain aspects of the manuscript. So editing was really overwhelming. And now I've found more of a groove of editing for myself that works well for me. So it's less intimidating. Still intimidating, but less so.
That's a really good point. Why would you assume anyone knows how to edit? It's like, I see it with people who are like, oh, they've published a book and then they're suddenly offering an editing service. That's fine. I'm not having a go at anyone. However, I would prefer to have a professional editor who's gone and learnt about editing in a more professional environment, because editing should be structured in some way. And obviously when you're doing your own, you might do it a different way, but you want something a little bit more structured to help you. And yeah, it is a weird overwhelm, is that. But I think one of the issues is we compare our work, or not finished work, to everybody else's finished. We look at other people's books that are like printed and, you know, they're out on the shelves, and we're like, oh, mine's not as good as that. It's like, no, but maybe your stuff is as good as their first draft that was tracked. And it's hard. And we have to remember that we're not meant to make our story perfect. We're meant to make it as perfect as we can. And then we hire an editor. And we've talked about this. You need to hire an editor. Please, people, hire a professional editor. Yes, it's stressful and expensive, so save up if you can. Find some good deals, but find someone who knows what they're doing. And it's not even up to them to make it perfect. It's up to them to help you polish it. You know, you've got editors and proofreaders and all this. They're there to help you make it as good as it can be. There will still be the odd error that gets through, because that happens. But yeah, it's trying to step back from, you have to do everything. Even if you're self-published, you need to get an editor. You should not be doing everything, because that is overwhelming and the perfectionism comes hard.
Yeah, I think that's also where it stems from, is that we just naturally think that we can do everything ourselves, and it's difficult to ask for help. And as something with writing, whereas it's something creative, people think that they need to be great at it from the get-go. Like, because a lot of people, they just think, oh, I have an idea for a story, but I'm not a writer, so I can't write it. No, everybody can write a story. It comes with practice. It comes with time. And if you have the imagination and you have the will to write a book, then you can write a book. It's not going to be perfect, of course, but you need to ask for that help from an editor. And I think a lot of people, they get nervous that they'll submit their work to an editor and the editor will look at it and be like, this person wants to be a writer. Oh my God. I'm pretty sure they don't do that. I can't speak for them, but I'm pretty sure editors don't take a writer's manuscript and say, oh my God, they're there to help. This is their job and this is what they love to do. So ask for help. And it doesn't need to be a professional editor. I mean, you should hire a professional editor at some point, but talk to beta readers, talk to other writer friends. We're all in this together.
Hell yeah. Use a software like Hemingway or Pro Writing Age to do a first pass and find some of those little errors just to clear them up first. But yeah, but definitely. One of the issues I've had with perfectionism, because I have suffered with it for so long, is I find you have to be super intentional. You have to acknowledge that you're being a perfectionist. You have to acknowledge that you are overdoing it and you need to step back. You have to remind yourself done is better than perfect, that sometimes it is good enough for the next stage, because that's it. You're not looking at it going, it's good enough for the world. No, it's good enough to go to a beta reader. It's good enough to put through Pro Writing Aid. It's good enough to go and reach out to a publisher and things like that. Obviously, if you're going traditional route and you're going for an agent, you might want to make sure it goes through some beta readers and some like Pro Writing Aid or Hemingway before you go there, just to clean it up enough. But even then, a lot of agents, they are looking for a strong story, good characterization, and enough potential in the story. They're not automatically going to trash you for having some issues. Some will, I'm sure they will. But there will be others who, if they see the potential, they're going to take you on. So yeah. But I think you need to be the voice to go over the, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. I mean, put a little post-it on your computer saying, done is better than perfect, and use it as a freaking mantra to get you through. Yeah, try that.
No, absolutely. I've been saying it for years. Any progress is progress. It doesn't have to be good progress, but any progress is progress, because it's one step closer to you getting to whatever your goal is.
100%. I love that. Yeah. Any progress is progress. You're stepping forward. Even if it's small, tiny steps, you're still moving forward. That's the main thing. One other thing I found is that perfectionism feeds perfectionism. So I have had to try and ease off perfectionism in other aspects of my life. Because if I'm trying to be an obsessive perfectionist in one aspect, it leaks into other things. So I've had to go and be like, that's good enough. That's okay too. Just like back away from things because it will connect to your writing and just, it's like a cycle of just more perfect. And it's like, there's no such thing as perfect.
It is a vicious cycle, isn't it? And I feel like once you have that like perfectionism in you, it does. It trickles into every aspect of your life. And that's why if you want to try to overcome perfectionism or, just steer clear of it, one of my tips to doing so is to set reasonable goals for yourself. And this is something that took me years to learn. And I'm still kind of learning it. I understand what setting reasonable goals means, but I still sometimes don't set reasonable goals. It kind of comes down to baby steps. I remember like when I, for my novels, for example, I would try to aim to write X amount of words every single day. And the word count would be astronomical. Because I'm a fast typer, and a lot of times when I get started writing, it kind of just flows well, and it's all mush, but it's coherent mush for the most part. You know, I can work with it, so it's fine. So I would set these obnoxious, like, word count goals, and if I didn't meet that word count goal, I felt guilty, and I talked down to myself. And I could have met like 75% of that daily word count goal. And I just ran out of time because there's only so much hours in a day. But because I didn't meet it 100% or go over the word count goal, I was like, oh my God, I didn't get anything done. And it was the same thing with editing. I would tell myself, I can edit 50 pages a day. Absolutely. That's ridiculous. No, you can't edit 50 pages a day unless you're a professional editor and that's your job and you're working like 9 to 5 editing manuscripts. Fine. But if it's your own self-edit, no. Don't tell yourself you can edit 50 pages a day. It's ridiculous. So take it by baby steps. Give yourself a good chunk of time, whether it's a month, 2 months, 3 months, to write that first draft or edit that first draft, whatever you're currently working on with your novel, and just tell yourself baby steps. Because again, any progress is progress. And if one day you edit 5 pages, but then the next day you're only able to get through 2 pages, that's fine. You're still working towards that goal. You're still 2 pages further in editing your manuscript.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Reasonable goal. The word reasonable should be attached to so many things because we're so good to go like, write novel. And it's like, whoa. There's a lot of steps to write novel. You know, even write chapter 2. There's a lot of steps to write chapter 2 because like every chapter has its own little mini arc. So are you right in the beginning of chapter 2? Are you in the middle? Like the cliffhanger at the end? I mean, what? So yeah, I am 100% with that. I try and add a few deadlines for myself. And that is a deadline up to, right, no more going back to this chapter by this date. You have to have dealt with it. And if it's not finished, then it's not finished. You'll deal with it another time. I also have, when I do my editing, I have lists of questions. As I'm writing, I'm always like, oh shit, was that character left-handed? Put a question next to it. Did I add an extra spire to this castle? Does this person know about this thing? And I'll add a million questions. And every scene, there's a little thing at the side. I think it's the inspector on Scrivener. And there's a little notes section. And it is full of questions on every single scene and chapter I make. And then I have another deadline. And it's like, right, now you need to answer some of these goddamn questions. Otherwise, they'll just keep growing. Same with checklists. I'm trying to use more checklists to stop the never-ending edit. You know, it's like checklists for locations, making sure that my locations are correct from one book to the other or from one chapter to the other. I don't write linearly. So if I've written chapter 18 one day and then 8 months later I wrote chapter 2, I need to make sure those locations are the same if that's where I am. So I have checklists for things like that. And I'm not allowed to look at anything else. I have to go through my locations. Then I have to go through my character description. I have to go through my plot points. And it forces you to sort of narrow your gaze to one or two things rather than constantly looking at the overall novel or manuscript, which is where the overwhelm comes, which is where the perfectionism comes, and the fear, and then the procrastination. So yeah, if you can, checklists and deadlines just for yourself. Don't get obsessive with them. But if you're fine, you're in a cycle and you can't break it, put a cutoff date and then send whatever you've got to your beta reader. Because maybe it just needs to go out of your hands and you need to get some feedback, positive and negative, or if you're really struggling, just ask for a positive read and deal with that for the first time, because that can usually get you out of the procrastination. If someone's coming back going, oh my God, I love such and such character, or where are we going with this? This is really interesting. I want to know more. And it can really move you forward and can sometimes get you out of the rut that you're in with the perfectionism.
Checklists and deadlines do help so, so much. And obviously, Ari is right. Don't become obsessive with these deadlines, because it is easy to miss a deadline and then feel guilty about not reaching that deadline. And then you just feel stuck and you just stop writing altogether, because I've certainly never done that before. So I don't know what I'm talking about. But I usually, when I write, I keep a separate list of editing notes. So I know that if there's like a specific thing that I have to research, I know I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. But I want to get my first draft done first. So I'll leave a separate note and I'll say that's for future Rachel to figure out when she's editing, because that's partly what the editing is for. It's for fact checking and research. And then when I edit, I still keep a list of editing notes. There are certain questions that I have to answer. And if other things come up through the editing process that I'm like, this doesn't make sense, this needs to be fixed, here's a little plot hole, then I'll keep a separate list for what I need to fix when I retype that draft, once it's all done and edited. And it's a process, and you have to give yourself time to get through this process. You're not going to get it right on the first go. And even when you do get it right, when you start writing your next novel, everything's going to change. It's all going to be different, and you're going to have to refigure it out. So just because you wrote one novel doesn't mean that your next novel is going to go any easier. And I think that's something else that people struggle with when it comes to perfectionism, is because if they've already written 5 manuscripts, they're like, well, I've done this so many times before, so why isn't it coming easy to me this time around? Because it's different. It's a different project, probably different characters, unless it's a series, but it's different plots. It's, you're going through different things in your life from when you wrote the first book. Things change. Your writing has grown. Things are different, but just keep pushing through. Any progress is progress.
I like you said you wanted to end on a positive. Some of that didn't sound as positive as I thought it was going to be.
I'm like, just it's get not good.
When you write your next novel, it might be just as hard.
Well, it's true, though. It is. We can't give these people false hope, Ari.
True. Very true. Yeah. And especially if you change genre. Oh, my gosh. It's just one big.
Well, yeah. Mess, I mean, so. It's always going to be a learning curve, and you're always going to be learning new things about yourself too. And your writing style. Your writing style isn't going to come easy. That's going to take a few novels to figure out.
Okay. We're going to end it now. We'll turn it over to you guys. Do you struggle with perfectionism? And if so, do you have any tips on how you've dealt with it in the past? Let us know your answers in the comments so we can have a chat about it. Remember, we release new episodes every Wednesday. Next week, we're joined by a guest to discuss writing for children. To ensure you don't miss it, do hit the subscribe button on your way out. As always, thanks so much for listening to the Mary Writer Podcast, and we'll see you next week. This podcast is brought to you by Scraps of Paper. We have notes everywhere. The music, titled Inspired, is by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons 4.0.